Saving money on everything for your next project when you shop at Menards. Menards has a huge selection of bagged concrete and mortar mixes, great for any project. Whether you're pouring a walkway, a concrete slab, or setting a post. View our entire selection of concrete mixes and supplies in-store and on Menards.com. Plus, check out the weekly flyer for more great deals happening now.
Save big money at Menards.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24-7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
It's hour number two of three live right here on the early line on this Monday morning on Sports Grid. I am Ben Stevens. He is Donnie Wrightside, DRS. Donnie will continue to look back on the weekend that was in football, college football, and the National Football League. But week number two, Donnie, is not done in the NFL until we finish a doubleheader. Two games on week number two for the finale on this Monday night. One in Carolina between the Panthers and the Saints, and virtually at the same time, another in Pittsburgh between the Steelers and the Browns. Donnie, we start with some Major League Baseball reactions here on this Monday on TEL. There are 2 weeks remaining in this Major League Baseball regular season, about four series left for teams around the bigs. It is the hunt for October. It is the hunt for divisional titles. And Donnie, the marquee matchup of the weekend, a four-game set in Baltimore between the Orioles and the Rays, where Tampa won the first two to draw even with the O's at the top of the American League East, for Baltimore to take the final two and now hold a two-game advantage once again. The O's winning yesterday, DRS, 5-4 in the finale in 11 innings. Adam Frazier, a double in the ninth to send it to extras. Adley Rutschman, after Tampa scored in the top of the 10th, has an RBI single in the bottom half of that inning to extend it. And then Cedric Mullins, a sacrifice fly, scores Rutschman. Baltimore walks it off in 11, DRS, to take that two-game lead once again in the American League East.
Sign of a champion there, the Orioles. 5-4 victory here. Two straight wins to end that series. You take a look at the standings now. A little bit of a breathing room. I was expecting to show up here on a Monday morning and start talking about the Orioles and the Rays going, my goodness, did the Orioles collapse? I love what the Orioles did over the weekend, Ben.
I do as well, DRS, because my ticket for Baltimore to win the American League East at a plus money price looks pretty good right now, as it's minus 750 for Baltimore. The O's entered the series at minus 550. Even after that opening game, DRS, less than $3. I can only imagine what the price was following Friday, but now minus 750 for the Orioles. A much easier schedule in the final 2 weeks than that of Tampa Bay. But the Rays, DRS, are going to be a playoff team, and they're probably going to have a great opportunity to make some noise. They are the top team in the American League wildcard chase right now. 9 games up for that top spot. Where, Donnie, when you look at the rest of the standings, the Blue Jays now in that second spot. It was the Rangers and the Mariners in 2 and 3 entering the weekend. The Jays were swept by the Rangers in 4 games. They respond with a sweep over the weekend. The Rangers get swept this weekend, as do the Mariners, DRS, against the Los Angeles Dodgers. So now Seattle on the outside looking in. Donnie, make sense of it if you can.
There is no making sense of it, because in 2 more days it'll be jumbled and we'll be talking about the Mariners in and the Rangers back out, or a slide here from the Toronto Blue Jays. This is what's happening here, and we still got roughly 2 weeks of baseball left to play. Every single day we come on this show on the early line, we are going to be talking about the interchanging parts in both the National League and the American League, and it's fun to watch and it's fun to talk about.
Yep. DRS, we welcome in our Sports Grid Radio audience here. Hour number two of the first day of a new week, live right here on the early line, Sirius XM channel 159. All of our radio terrestrial affiliates now in the mix as well. He is Donnie. I am Ben. This is a Major League Baseball weekend review and all the changes in the American League wild card race. So the Jays now a half game up over the Rangers for the second and third spots respectively. Seattle a game back on the outside looking in. at Texas at this moment. And Donnie, when you look at where the odds are right now, make playoff prices now available once again. The Blue Jays minus 480. Texas better than a $2 price. Seattle still in minus money at minus 120. Donnie, I feel like you'll be able to bet each and every team each and every day and somehow find your way into profitability, because this is going to change not just once or twice throughout the final 2 weeks of this year. Probably at least three, four, five times before the regular season is done in the bigs.
Yeah, and I have some violent swings there, as now all of a sudden the Blue Jays are a massive favorite to make the playoffs with a half of a game lead here up. I just don't see it happening at this point. That just, all takes a three games you lose in a row, and all of a sudden you're back out of the race here. And from what we've seen from all of these teams, they're all capable, Ben, of losing three games in a row, because they've done it here over the past 3 or 4 weeks. I can't wait to see it play out and have some fun. I am sort of rooting for the Toronto Blue Jays to get in, because they are a fun baseball team. But then again, who's going to be left out? It's going to be one of those AL West teams. And also, we're talking about the Houston Astros here. Yeah. Ooh, walking away with that division with like a game lead. Wild stuff over the final 2 weeks for sure.
DRS, you thought Texas, who had won six straight games, they swept the Blue Jays, part of their fiercest competition for a wild card spot, would have taken advantage against the Guardians, a team not really in the race at all in the AL Central, or thus the American League, and Cleveland wins three straight. It's part of the ebbs and flows of a long Major League Baseball season, except at this point, it's not May or June. Each game incredibly significant. So now the Rangers have lost three straight. The Mariners have lost three straight. Donnie, you don't want to be on a five-game skid at all at this point of the year. And that's where the Cubs find themselves. Chicago, who seemed like one of the locks, Donnie, in the National League wild card race, now on the outside, or not on the outside quite, but in a tie for third with Miami for the third and final spot. The Cubbies lost the final two games of their set against Colorado, swept by the D-backs this weekend, DRS, and Arizona now occupies that second spot. I can hardly wrap my head around what we are seeing in the National League.
No, and also the Marlins. Oh, look at that. The Braves will handle their business. Three straight wins there for the Marlins, which now you take a look at the Phillies have a 3.5-game lead. They play the Braves this week, so nobody here feels like they're either A, in the playoffs, or B, out of the playoffs. This is what we anticipated. It's fun. We're in the middle of football season having so much fun, but yet the Major League Baseball races are so tight down the stretch, they warrant our attention here. I can't wait to see it play out, my goodness. Let me tell you now, we're expecting a red October here in the city of Philadelphia. If they absolutely collapse and fall out of the playoffs, that would be monumental on our side. I just hope it doesn't happen.
A three-game lead for the Phils over the D-backs in that first and second spot, respectively, in the National League wild card. But DRS, there's four teams right now hunting those final two spots. Arizona, Miami, Chicago, Cincinnati, all separated by just a game. The Marlins have the best price out of all four of those teams at minus 170 to make the playoffs. And Donnie, if Miami does it, they have earned it. This stretch that they are in is as hard as you will find. They swept the Braves, but DRS, Atlanta had already clinched the National League East. Maybe it's a question of motivation here in the final couple of weeks of this regular season.
Oh, it is. And that's also something that we want to talk about heading into the playoffs, where, look, I understand if you clinch early, you're one of the best teams in Major League Baseball, but don't play bad baseball down the stretch, because you have a short series. You might find yourself watching the NLCS at that point.
DRS, the Marlins scored 16 runs yesterday against the Braves. Jazz Chisholm hit a grand salami for the second consecutive day. The Marlins scored 36 combined runs in their three-game sweep over Atlanta. A college football conversation. That's next on PEL.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Week number three of the college football season now in the books, ahead of a monumental and significant Saturday for week number four. But Donnie, right side, let's look back on the third full Saturday of this college football season, the third Saturday in September. All of the notoriety, all of our eyeballs, all of the attention paid to the Rocky Mountain State for the Rocky Mountain Showdown on Saturday night between Colorado and Colorado State. The renewal of a rivalry rivalry DRS that we hadn't seen since 2019, the 92nd all-time meeting between the Buffaloes and the Rams. And of course, Donnie, that heightened atmosphere was there on Saturday because of pregame comments made by CSU's head coach Jay Norvell about the shades and the hat of Deion Sanders becoming personal for the 92nd meeting in the Rocky Mountain Showdown. And then we saw one of the best football games so far early this season. It had to go to double overtime. It had to be a 98-yard drive led by Shedeur Sanders in the final 2 minutes of regulation to force the extra sessions out of Colorado. But the Buffs prevailed, Donnie, to start a perfect 3-0. They come nowhere close to covering, really, at any point as a 23.5-point favorite, but they get their third victory in as many games, and Deion Sanders and the Buffaloes win the 92nd all-time matchup in the Rocky Mountain Showdown.
I mean, so much fun. What an incredible game overall. And also, when you take a look, you might wake, and as I did, wake up, 43-35. Oh, look at that. Colorado probably had a late charge. Colorado State probably had a late charge just to make it close. Not the case. You could argue the better football team all the way through was the Colorado State Rams. Yeah. And take a look at the wide receivers. 16, 10, and 6. I'm talking about the leading wide receivers, how many catches they had, which included 133 yards, 131 yards, and 109 yards. They had three wide receivers over 100 yards, which is incredible to watch. But also, I love the moxie here. You get a punt late in that game down to the 2-yard line, and all eyes on me, which would be Shedeur Sanders here. We're expecting, oh, there's no way he can complete that comeback. Keep in mind, it was an 8-point game. They had to go the length of the field, score a touchdown, then convert the 2-point conversion. It was so much fun to watch that play out. And also, if we're looking for the Colorado Buffaloes, and you ask Deion Sanders after the game, hey, look, we didn't play well, but we still won the football game. Winning is what matters, and also the adversity that the kids faced and rose to the occasion. And even Shedeur Sanders talked about after the game, hey, nobody's talking about us unless we win football games. We won another football game. We have to keep the fire going here for the rest of the season because the next 2 weeks are going to be incredible to watch them play out. But those next 2 weeks wouldn't have been nearly as exciting unless the Buffaloes pulled out that victory against the Rams. College football sometimes is so much fun that many people talked about on Sunday morning how tired they were. Why? Not because they went out dancing and drinking. It's because you wanted to stay up to see how this game ended, Ben. Fantastic stuff.
And DRS, that game is the beauty of college football. A rivalry renewed with bad words said on both sides. An atmosphere that was electric in Boulder. Some chippiness. Maybe not too, or maybe too much for Colorado State. A dirty hit, by the way, on Travis Hunter that sent him to the hospital and might have him sidelined for a couple of weeks. But revenge paid to that defensive player for the Rams as he was torched on the game-tying touchdown. Jimmy Horn Jr. going right past him into the end zone. 348 passing yards, 4 touchdown tosses for Shedeur Sanders. DRS, you might be thinking to yourself, 348 for Shedeur. Oh my God, another over his passing yards prop. No, it closed at 363.5. But a victory for Colorado that DRS won a single game a season ago. And then Deion Sanders came in and totally revamped this roster and this program. 69 scholarship newcomers that led the Buffs into this year with a win total of 3.5. And the under had the juice. They are a perfect 3-0 after 3 weeks. If there is, though, Donnie, a little bit of that glass slipper starting to crack just a tad, we saw it reflected in this game against Colorado State. 499 total yards allowed by that Buffs defense that has had issues this year. And now Colorado heads to the road for the first time in Pac-12 play, taking on Oregon in Eugene inside Autzen Stadium on Saturday afternoon. Donnie, Colorado entering the matchup against Colorado State for that early line against the Ducks was a 14.5-point underdog for this upcoming Saturday. Now a 19.5-point dog in Oregon on Saturday.
By the way, also taking a look, some of those, you know, kids' standings that Deion put out, maybe Shallow Sanders is going to move up a little bit. A pick six, and I got to tell you this. Everybody saw it coming. He picks it. Now, if there was nobody around, he was going to bust out in a nice Deion prance all the way down the field. But the fact that he was getting closed in on, he wasn't able to do that high step down the field. Sensational stuff. Look, the Sanders kids going to Colorado along with their father doing monster things here. And all eyes on the prize again next week. It is a 19.5, but also we talked about some of that stuff with TCU to open the season. Don't doubt Colorado. Yeah. They've now won convincingly in a few different ways, which include close games at the end and pulling them out. I love what I see out of Colorado. And granted, it's so much fun to watch, and that's half the battle. I love it.
And let me tell you, this week will be personal. Dan Lanning, at the end of July, the second-year head coach for Oregon, was asked about Colorado departing from the Pac-12 going to the Big 12. And Dan Lanning said, I don't remember Colorado winning anything of significance in this league. Do you? I guarantee you that has already been played multiple times inside the facilities in Boulder. DRS, Colorado won the football game, right? In double overtime, but came nowhere close to covering as a 23.5-point favorite. Big favorites on Saturday. They struggled against the number. Georgia's SEC opener between the hedges in Athens against South Carolina. The Bulldogs were a 26.5-point favorite, and they win, Donnie, 24-14. But they were down 14-3 at the halftime break, 21 unanswered from the Bulldogs in the second half to stay unbeaten this season and DRS start SEC play, a perfect 1-0. But perfect is not what Georgia is against the number. 0-3 ATS this year, Donnie, for the Georgia Bulldogs. We compare things to expectations from the odds here. Georgia has not lived up to that expectation just yet in 2023.
No, they haven't. And also, man, I don't want to say it's a championship hangover, back-to-back years, but then you look at the schedule. You usually need something to get you going, which means, hey, look, we're going to circle the calendar for this football game. They don't have many of them until basically you get to the SEC championship game and then into the playoffs. But credit them for being down double digits at home and avoiding a disaster by outscoring South Carolina 21-0 in the second half here for that 24-14 game. They righted the ship here, and rightfully so. And maybe they are just bored at this point right now, but credit them. It's an SEC game. They're hard to win, especially being down double digits. They handled their business in the second half at home.
All Georgia needs to do is get to the SEC title game, and they are going to play in the college football playoff once again. A shorter price for the Dogs now, plus 200 to win the national championship than we have seen so far this year. They entered at plus 220. They moved back by 10 cents before Saturday's SEC opener for UGA at plus 230. Now 2-1. And DRS, favorites struggling in a big way. Week number three, we thought chaos might ensue in Chestnut Hill between Boston College and Florida State. FSU wins 31-29. Again, nowhere close to covering, as a 26.5-point favorite. The Noles trailed 10-3 early on, then scored 28 unanswered points entering the fourth quarter, but they were shut out in the fourth, DRS. BC scored 13 points, had an opportunity late in the football game, but Florida State holds on 31-29.
Hey, another flag on Boston College, and we're 48 hours away from this football game. My goodness, if you cut the flags in half, they beat Florida State outright on their home field. And if anybody watching, like, what was the Four Wells thing? That is a big deal every single year in Boston College. Those kids rose to the occasion in a game they were supposed to get blown out and, quite frankly, should have won. It would have been interesting to watch if they didn't get that late face mask penalty. But credit them. Also, hey, you get credit for winning if you're Florida State, but I was really impressed by Boston College. They came to play, just were completely undisciplined.
The red bandana game in Chestnut Hill, in honor of Wells Crowther, a BC alum and former lacrosse player that lost his life as a hero in the 9/11 attacks, saving people from those burning buildings. DRS elsewhere on Saturday in the swamp. Tennessee can't win. Florida pulls off the upset as an underdog. More here on TEL next.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
The Sunday slate might be in the books, but week number two of the National Football League regular season is not done yet. And not just one Monday night football game here as we break it down on the early line. A doubleheader, DRS, on this Monday night. One game in Carolina, another game in Pittsburgh. They're happening virtually at the same time. So, Donnie, we start with the divisional showdown in the NFC South. The Saints and the Panthers. New Orleans, a three-point road underdog in Charlotte. The home debut for the number one overall pick on the right side of your screen. That is Bryce Young. DRS, a measly total in this football game, just 39.5. Of course, New Orleans held on to beat the Titans in their opener, 16-15, in an ugly football game. Carolina lost by two touchdowns in another divisional game against the Falcons to start things off last weekend. DRS, the first game up technically on this Monday night doubleheader. What do you like?
Yeah, we're going to try to find some things that we like here. But you know what I like usually at night, Ben, after a long day? Sometimes I take a little melatonin, get to sleep, get that comfortability, be fresh and ready on the show. I don't know if you're even going to need that when you're watching these two offenses take to the field after week one. It was an embarrassing performance for both of those sides. And quite frankly, I was surprised the New Orleans Saints took that much out of them and said, man, come on, move the football here. Look, I understand Carr made some big plays late in that game. I need to see more. But I do agree with Ben in that first game, the Saints as a three-point favorite here. I'm just not buying yet to the offense for the Carolina Panthers. But if I'm looking from a total perspective, that 39.5, I'm probably leaning more towards the under here. Because what's the game plan here? The Saints to play good defense, force the rookie quarterback into mistakes, similarly to what you saw last week when you saw Atlanta take on Carolina. I look for that same type of an approach, but also if you're a Saints backer here, what do you want to see? Hey, Jamal Williams, man, let's go. I need more at like 2.5 yards per carry. I need that to be extended up. I do think there's a legitimate chance that he does find pay dirt, but if I'm betting this game and looking at it optimistically, it's hard to take rookie quarterbacks here. I do think the Saints are the better football team. That 3 is a key number. We'll see throughout the day if that changes, because 2.5 obviously would be much more enticing, but I'm not looking for a way to take the Carolina Panthers, Ben. I'm just not.
Right now, DRS, if you were to back the under, you would be following the trend in a big way for the Saints. Since the start of 2022, now 18 games overall for New Orleans, and over is not really in their vocabulary. Yeah. 12 of 18 games hitting the under, including week number one, that had a small total of 40.5 at home against the Titans, staying well under. DRS, 10 of the last 11 for New Orleans have stayed under, and they held the Titans to only 285 total yards a week ago. Carolina wasn't bad defensively, DRS, against the Falcons. They did allow 130 rush yards, so maybe you're looking at Jamal Williams. Still, as Alvin Kamara serves his three-game suspension, game two of three tonight, but I don't really know where the offense is going to come. So, Donnie, when you look at the totals in this football game, 39.5 for the full game, 19 and a hook for both of the halves. The Saints, a slightly higher team total at 20 and a hook. The Panthers, 18.5. Both teams, in terms of their offensive output, under those team totals in week number one.
Yeah, and certainly that's probably what we're expecting in week number two. And also, again, game plans. Like styles dictate fights here, right? When you take a look at the matchups together, they're not too high-flying offenses right now. And also, you're playing a divisional game. You know it's going to be a little bit more of like, okay, let's focus in. We know our opponent here. But the one thing that is a little bit of that flyer is, what are you getting out of a rookie quarterback at home? Yeah, he's going to be amped up and ready to go. But they still lost by double digits last week. Take a look at some of the player passing yards on the card here. Bryce Young, 189.5 yards. Derek Carr, 232.5. Which one would you feel more confident in? You actually probably would lean towards Bryce Young's 189.5, because if you think that the Saints are going to win the football game, that might mean extra passes here for Bryce Young coming down the stretch. And also, it is nice for Bryce Young to get that first game out of the way. The nerve starting your first NFL football game, it's on the road, it's in a dome, it's extremely loud. Now you get to come home with the fans are actually cheering for you, and you'll be able to operate on offense without all that screaming noise there. So I do look for a better performance here out of Bryce Young. But again, those numbers are low. We're not looking at 305.5 and 289.5. We expect this to be a game that's going to be close to 40 points, which means much more measured tempos on offense.
DRS, Bryce Young last week in his NFL debut, 20 of 38, a buck 46, a touchdown, but two interceptions. Not necessarily one you will look back on fondly, despite it being your first career National Football League game. But we know that number one overall picks playing the quarterback position in their NFL openers have not been great. Maybe now back at home in Charlotte, a turn of the tail for Carolina. Derek Carr in his debut in a Saints uniform, DRS, 305 passing yards. A lot of that late, a lot of it on big plays down the stretch in the fourth quarter. 232.5 is that number for Carr tonight. Donnie, I think it's interesting when you look at New Orleans. What is the expectation this year for the Saints, who have been great defensively in the last half decade under Dennis Allen, first when he was the DC under Sean Payton, now as the head coach in his second year? You know the defense is solid, top five, top 10 as a unit overall in the National Football League. I think you want to see this Saints offense pick it up tonight. 232.5 for Derek Carr seems like a relatively small total, but again, not much offense expected overall. 39.5 is that point total for this game in Charlotte on this Monday.
Yeah, and maybe it comes down to the simplest elements. Sometimes you have to try to outsmart yourself. I got a rookie quarterback in the second game versus a seasoned veteran here, and also the outlook on the season much higher for the New Orleans Saints than it is the Carolina Panthers. Also, keep in mind, take a look at some of those markets, anytime touchdown scores. I think Jamal Williams is legitimate, and every time I always go back to Taysom Hill. Unless you have an athletic quarterback, which Carr is somewhat athletic in the pocket, he's not a runner, that always leaves those options for him once you get into a goal line situation, that package where he would run sort of a wildcat. So I do the trust level. If that's what we're talking about tonight, I trust the New Orleans Saints and their team much, much more than they do Carolina. And if I think they're going to win the game, they should be able to win by 3 points or more. But I don't see this as a high-flying game. You know, we talked about a game yesterday, like the Texans and the Colts are really getting after it, which was surprising to me. I don't think that's going to be the case tonight. Monday Night Football in the division. I look for the game to stay under the total, but I do look for a Saints victory tonight.
No touchdowns, DRS, for Jamal Williams in week number one, his first in the Big Easy. Of course, he had 18 rushing scores last year, the most to lead all of the National Football League, plus 125, the price for Williams to find pay dirt tonight. Some big plus money prices for Derek Carr's wide receivers this evening. Chris Olave, plus 210. Michael Thomas, back and healthy, plus 260. Rashid Shaheed, plus 320, a big play in the fourth quarter to ice the victory away for New Orleans. DRS, I'm not looking at Chris Olave necessarily to find the end zone, but he is going to be one of Derek Carr's favorite targets this year. 10 targets week number one, 8 grabs, 112 yards. Over his receiving yards prop tonight of 72 and a hook. It's a number he only went over 4 times throughout his rookie year in the National Football League. Tough to kind of correlate it to tonight, DRS. Derek Carr wasn't his quarterback a year ago, but when he does go over, he goes over in a big way. 100 or more yards in 3 of the 4 overs last year. Of course, a buck 12 last week against Tennessee.
And sometimes it is also nice to have a healthy Michael Thomas on the opposite side, so you can't just throw all of your focus on Olave. If you look, a lot of times when you see week number one, you know the quarterback's favorite target is at a training camp. That's why you get him built up so much in week one. We'll see if that continues over to week number two, but I don't see any reason for it not to do that. If he was the go-to guy against a solid defense in Tennessee week one, I think Olave is going to be the centerpiece again. Other guys that you want to take a look at on the opposite side, like, let's just say the Carolina Panthers. I always like cheap numbers here. Adam Thielen listed at 30.5 yards at a plus 100. And then you take a look at Miles Sanders. I'm big on running backs out of the backfield. Yesterday I had Saquon Barkley hit his number and also Bijan Robinson. Miles Sanders, 12.5. For a rookie quarterback, your best friend is your easiest throw. The pressure's coming down. You look to your left or your right. There's the dump off to the running back. And also the screen game. Miles Sanders can run that effectively here. That's a pretty cheap number on Miles at 12.5 too.
DRS, I'm also looking at a kicking prop. What? Kicking prop for Monday Night Football? The total is 39.5, DRS. Blake Groupie, the rookie kicker for New Orleans, who took the job in training camp, was 3-for-3 last week for the Saints, also converted on the only extra point. That's 10 points. His kicking prop tonight is 6.5 in terms of total points. The over has the juice. I'm expecting New Orleans at least to have 2 field goals in this football game, a touchdown and a converted extra point. Hey, we're already over 6.5. That might be another area to look. Donnie, New Orleans entered this year as the favorites to win the NFC South. They have their first divisional game tonight against those Carolina Panthers. As we look at the NFC South prices at this moment, Atlanta has jumped to be the favored side, plus 145, 10 cents in front of the Saints, plus 155. Both the Falcons and the Bucs, DRS, a perfect 2-0 to start this year. Atlanta, though, already a divisional win last week against Carolina.
Yeah, and also you're taking a look at they won their game yesterday, and of course you're looking for a return serve for the Saints. So if the Saints go on the road and they win that, they win their game tonight, they'll flip back to the favorites here. But we're competitive here. This is one of those divisions that it looked like it was just going to be the Saints to run away with. The Atlanta Falcons showed a lot of chops, and also Baker Mayfield and Tampa Bay, we forget how much talent is actually on that roster. You're just waiting for a quarterback to step up, which it seems like Baker Mayfield is doing. But on the horizon, those Philadelphia Eagles on Monday Night Football for Baker Mayfield. So some interesting stuff to come. But looks like we're going to have a competitive division nonetheless here in 2023.
DRS, we expected the NFC South to be abysmal this year, at least based on last year. The team that won the division, Tom Brady's Buccaneers, won it with a losing record. If New Orleans wins tonight, the NFC South would be one of two divisions in football to have three teams at 2-0 or better, alongside the NFC East, where the Eagles, the Cowboys, and the Commanders are all a perfect 2-0. So that's the first Monday Night Football game on this evening in the doubleheader. It kicks around 7:15 p.m. Eastern time. We go to another divisional showdown in the Steel City between the Steelers and the Browns up next.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24-7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Not one, but two games. A doubleheader of Monday Night Football action here on this Monday to end out week number two. Welcome back to the Early Line Live right here on Sports Grid. He is DRS, Donnie Wrightside. I am Ben Stevens. DRS, we just previewed the first of the two Monday Night Football games in Carolina. The Panthers host the Saints. That game kicks around 7:15 p.m. Eastern time. And then about an hour later in Pittsburgh, another divisional showdown between the Steelers and the Cleveland Browns. Cleveland, a road favorite, DRS. The line working in their favor as well. Now 2.5 points in favor of the Browns on the road tonight in Acrisure Stadium. A total, Donnie, that's even lower than the first Monday Night Football game, and that number was 39.5. The over-under tonight in the Steel City, 38 and a hook.
Yeah, it looks like it's probably going to play towards another under. Let's get something straight here. Kenny Pickett throwing close to 50 times in a ball game is not the recipe for success for the Pittsburgh Steelers. But again, you're trying to take a look at some of these games and say, well, they were down early. What did you want them to do? I understand that. But if I would have loved to have been a fly on the wall this week of Mike Tomlin talking to his football team after getting hammered last week by the 49ers, and also keep in mind, you're at home again. You can't start the season losing back-to-back home games, and they're a dog. Now, granted, what did we like out of the Cleveland Browns opening day? Man, it was a pretty good performance going up against the Cincinnati Bengals. Wipe them off the field. That's great. But weeks one to weeks two, things do change. And if I'm looking at Mike Tomlin saying, hey, I don't lose football games, or at least have losing seasons, I should say, they should bounce back in a big way. It was an embarrassing performance last week. I look for big things out of the Steelers tonight, but that doesn't mean big things, meaning scoring points. This is going to be a hard-fought game, but I would be surprised if Cleveland comes in and wins by a touchdown or more against the Pittsburgh Steelers. Then we have a lot more questions that we need to be answered by the Pittsburgh Steelers, Ben.
No love lost in this AFC North rivalry tonight in Pittsburgh. DRS, you mentioned it. This is the second consecutive game at home. Pittsburgh is booked as an underdog. They were a dog last week, catching 1.5, 2 points against San Francisco. The Niners blitzed the Steelers 30-7. But under Mike Tomlin, a staple of consistency, of course, at the helm, dating back to 2007, his rookie year as the head coach of the Pittsburgh Steelers. Now in year number 17, the Steelers have been the best cover team as an underdog in the National Football League. 51-31-5 against the spread, DRS, a cover percentage of 62.2%. What stands out even more than that under Tomlin, DRS, in my estimation, a 42-45 record straight up as an underdog. 42 outright victories as an underdog. I'd be looking money line on the Pittsburgh Steelers tonight if I wanted to get involved with a side in this second of the doubleheader Monday Night Football games that we have.
Yeah, and also the pathway to victory for both of these teams not going to be necessarily to throw the football all over the lot. Some injuries that popped up as well. Deontay Johnson here for the Pittsburgh Steelers, not going to be available in this game. And take a look at Amari Cooper, injured, I believe, his groin late in the week. It looks like he's going to be questionable to probably be doubtful to play in this football game. So it just feels like this is going to be a slugfest, and maybe you're leaning on your running backs. And quite frankly, it's never a bad thing to lean on Nick Chubb. The guy is sensational, over 100 yards in week number one. I look for another great performance out of him. But also, some things that I love too, mobile quarterbacks are being mispriced here, I believe, early in the season, Ben, in the NFL. You take a look at Deshaun Watson, 24.5 yard is his number tonight. If they're going to be, you know, yards tough to come by, passing tough to come by without your, you know, frontline guys on the outside and a low total, sometimes the quarterback's going to have to make some plays with his feet. You keep in mind, last week, Deshaun Watson, he had another low total, 45 yards on the ground. If you're looking at 24.5, it's basically three scrambles out of him. You can bust through there. So I look for the quarterbacks to be a little bit more mobile in this game, particularly from Watson's side. But this really lines up for me as a Pittsburgh Steelers dig your heels in, must win type of situation. And again, the recipe for success for the Steelers is mix in the pass and have a steady ground game. The weapons are still there, even with Johnson down at wide receiver. I expect them to be able to move the football tonight on the ground and be more measured, which means clock killing drives, 7.5 minutes, settling for field goals because points could be at a premium tonight. But I'm looking forward to Deshaun Watson's rushing props. I think he gets more than 25 tonight. I really do.
DRS, I think that's a great area to look, even for Kenny Pickett. 12.5 is the rushing yards number for the young Pickett. In a lot of the starts that he made last year, DRS, even in the game where he filled in the second half against the New York Jets, he was over only under this four times a season ago, and the Steelers have some worries along that offensive line. What did the Browns do phenomenally well last week? Pressure Joe Burrow up front. Maybe Kenny Pickett is running a little bit tonight to try to stave off that Browns passing rush. And DRS, I think you bring up a good point as well about Deshaun Watson. 45 yards on the ground, a touchdown last week, because it wasn't really good through the air for Watson. It hasn't been so far in his seven games started as the quarterback for Cleveland. 16 of 29. That's a 55.2% completion percentage. He had a 58% completion percentage last year in his six games as a starter. Only a 154, a touchdown and an interception. But on the ground is where Cleveland made their way against the Bengals. 206 rushing yards. I'll talk about that in just a second. Donnie, you said, what is the pathway to success for Pittsburgh? It is not Kenny Pickett throwing the football more than 30 times, 35 times, 40 times, 45 times. He threw it 46 times last week against San Francisco. A lot of that game script dependent, of course, because the Niners came out and blitzed the Steelers from the jump. But he was 31 of 46 for 232 yards, a touchdown, and two interceptions. Kenny Pickett last year, in the final seven games that he was fully healthy for, he was injured early on against the Ravens on December 11th. But Pittsburgh won six of those final fully seven healthy starts for Kenny Pickett, DRS. He threw the football more than 30 times once in those six wins. He also threw only one interception in those final seven games. It is Kenny Pickett being consistent with the football, not throwing it a ton and counting on the ground game. His pass attempts prop tonight for Pickett is 31.5. If you think Pittsburgh is going to stay in this football game, maybe even win it outright, DRS, as I believe the Steelers might, I would think the under of 31.5 pass attempts for Pickett is the right way to go for the Steelers to ultimately win this game.
Yeah, and also you're hoping that they have a lead, right? So they can salt that away where they're not throwing extra times, just like you had to see last week out of Pickett. If you're looking at maybe a touchdown prop or two that I think makes some sense, look no further than both of these running backs here. You got Nick Chubb at a plus 110 price. You know if they're inside the 5-yard line, he's getting the football here. We don't have to worry about Kareem Hunt anymore. Also, you take a look at Harris, plus 150 price here for the Pittsburgh Steelers. But as I just said, we're down some wide receivers. Other guys have to step up. And if we're looking at two really good pass rushing defenses, as you're going to find from Cleveland and Pittsburgh. How about the tight ends here, Ben? Take a look at David Njoku. I believe it's a plus 290 price, and Freiermuth at over a 3-1 price. If you're looking to get down into the red zone and everybody's clogging up saying, we know you want to run the football, it's easy for that tight end to slip out of here. So I take a look at some cheap props there from the running back position and also elevating some of those numbers with the tight end position. I think the running backs, the lead guys, right? If you take a look at Najee Harris and also Nick Chubb, they should be getting 15-plus carries apiece, no doubt about it in my mind. But from a tight end position, I think we're going to get some good looks here. The easiest throws to make, as we say, to the running backs and to the tight ends. They're closest in proximity to these quarterbacks and down two talented wide receivers. I think that might make some sense tonight.
DRS, Najee Harris is coming at a discount tonight of 49.5. I mentioned in the final six games that Pittsburgh won in their last eight in the regular season last year, where Kenny Pickett kept the football down and they didn't throw it a ton. Najee Harris was over in four of those six victories, six of the final eight overall. Over a ton, eight of the last 10 for Pittsburgh in the regular season. Yeah, he only had about 30 yards last week against San Francisco, but 49.5 for Najee Harris to see 50 yards tonight on the ground is not a large margin. It makes a ton of sense to me. And Nick Chubb is continuously going over his numbers. 83.5 is a discount at this time of year, Donnie, because over an 11 of 17 games overall last year for Chubb, had 18 carries for 106 yards week number one against Cincinnati. Also four grabs on four targets, something to pay attention to. But DRS, last year in the first five games for Cleveland, Nick Chubb was over this number of 83.5 in all of those first five games. The Steelers did allow a 188 in terms of rushing yards against San Francisco a week ago. I think you're getting pretty good numbers on both running backs for tonight's Monday Night Football matchup in Pittsburgh.
Yeah, and by the way, take a look. We know these totals are low for this game, but it's very rare you see this. The Steelers total tonight, 18.5. The Browns, 19.5. If you figure one of these teams can get three touchdowns on the board, you're going to cash that. No longer worrying about that 24.5 hook or 27.5. We need four full touchdowns. If you think you get some points, and you don't need many. Both of these teams should be approaching those numbers, which aren't even into the 20s. Something to watch out. But if I'm looking at this for myself, I do expect a bounce back performance from the Pittsburgh Steelers. If I'm leaning towards taking a side here on just the team totals, it's probably going to be the 18.5 for the Steelers at home. I think much more sound fundamentally here, and we'll see what takes place. But also, I mean, hey, man, that was a really good defensive performance last week, not by the Pittsburgh Steelers, but by the Cleveland Browns going up against the Cincinnati Bengals. Something to lay on. We'll see if they can continue that tonight. But I do think it trends to be a Steelers night, even though that line, if you're just looking at it, that's a stone-cold Cleveland Browns line tonight.
And the line has worked in their favor. Again, earlier this week, just 1.5 in favor of Cleveland. Now 2.5. Still under 3. Not a substantial spread by any means, but a Cleveland Browns line. DRS, the Steelers have never had a losing season under Mike Tomlin. 16 complete years now, one game into season number 17. The win total in the offseason was 8.5. That's where it remains, but the over had the hefty juice at minus 150. Now the under has the juice. If we follow the odds, DRS, that's only 8 wins. That would be 8-9. That would be a losing record. The Browns, meanwhile, 9.5 the win total in the preseason. Now 10.5. DRS, the odds looked very favorably on what the Browns did week number one at home against the Bengals. What do you think the outlook is for both of these teams? What will this matchup on Monday night teach us about the rest of the season for the Browns and the Steelers?
It's massive because most people probably figured week number one, the Browns probably wouldn't get a win. Oh, no, they're going to play the Steelers in week number two. But now you have a win, week number one win. You saw how poorly the Steelers played in week number one. Now you're looking at the Cleveland Browns and say, hey, maybe some optimism here if that defense can finally step up under Jim Schwartz. And also you get the Deshaun Watson of what we saw by the Texans here. But I say this. If you doubted Mike Tomlin in the past, where it looks like they're going to give away a season, he doesn't do that, and that's not what the Pittsburgh Steelers do. So I expect a big performance out of them tonight. Even if they do go 0-2, so what? There's still a legitimate chance they can go 9-8. But let me tell you something. Give the Browns a 2-0 lead here in the division, now going to be tied with the Ravens. If you couldn't have told me entering in the season, they're probably going to lose at least one of their first two to go 2-0, that's massive for the Browns.
It would be huge, DRS, for any potential divisional tiebreakers the rest of the way. Cleveland now has the second best price to win the AFC North at plus 220. The Bengals now 0-2 in division. The Ravens 2-0 overall. Their first divisional win of the year yesterday in Cincinnati. The Bengals plus 550. The Steelers plus 650, the longest price of the four. What would that number be tomorrow, Donnie, on Cleveland if they can win not only their second consecutive game to start the year, but their second game within the AFC North?
Yeah, it would be impressive. I'm excited to see it play out tonight. We're certainly going to find out in a hard-hitting battle in the AFC North tonight, Ben.
No love lost. Throw out the record books. How does the public, DRS, see this doubleheader on Monday Night Football? We'll find out next from you as we return on the Early Line.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Rounding out hour number two of this Monday Live right here on the Early Line on Sports Grid. He is Donnie Rightside. I am Ben Stevens. This is the new Sports Grid app, the ultimate sports betting companion app, now available for download at both the Apple and the Play Store. Scan that QR code on your screen. It does not matter if you have an iPhone. It does not matter if you have an Android. You can get all of our information, all of our insight in the palm of your hand at the new Sports Grid app. So to end out this second hour, we love hearing from you. How do you assess things happening right now? Well, what is your assessment for Monday Night Football? Not one, but two games. And who wins those games outright? With short spreads, a field goal or less? That was the question in Fade the Public. DRS at Sports Grid TV on Twitter. Who wins tonight on Monday Night Football? A little parlay, money line, if you will. The Saints and the Browns, plus 179. New Orleans, a 3-point road favorite. Cleveland, a 2.5-point road favorite. The Saints and the Steelers, the Panthers and the Browns, the Panthers and the Steelers. DRS, not a lot of people believe in Carolina tonight. It seems like the Saints, that's the right option, according to the public, in that NFC South showdown. But a pretty good toss-up, DRS, between who wins in the second of the two Monday Night Football games in the Steel City between the Browns and the Steelers. Right now, the Saints and the Steelers barely just edging out the Saints and the Browns. Donnie, are you fading the public?
I'm not going to fade the public tonight. I think they're the sharp side tonight. Saints and the Steelers plus 241 is who I voted for here. 40% now carrying along with me. 38.4% I'm showing here for the Saints and the Browns. So I'm going to take the Saints, who I think are the better team over the Carolina Panthers. And I'm going to take the Mike Tomlin Steelers in a bounce back performance center on Monday Night Football. They can't go 0-2, or can they?
No. They cannot, DRS, not as an underdog, not with how profitable they have been under Tomlin as a dog in now 17 years. We'll continue to look at Monday Night Football as hour three of the Early Line starts in 55 seconds.